You know what I was thinking is when we're singing that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory and saying your kingdom come and your will be done, what it really comes down to is trust. And you know, the more we learn to trust God, what I've seen is, I was thinking about the different ways we respond to God being in control of everything. I've had times in my life where I remember as a youth counselor, there was a youth group that I was working with that just had been through a lot of stuff and was just neat, just together had just gone through a lot of things and was really needing just some healing and things like that. And I was a part of kind of a revival experience where it almost seemed like God came from heaven and just was sitting among us and was right there in front of us, and healing was happening, and kids started praying for each other. And I never like seen this before. You know, kids were like crying and praying for each other, and just God was doing something. And it's one of those things where I can't really explain what was happening, but I know God was in it. And in moments like that, depending on how we experience God, it causes us to respond. I was just thinking as we're singing, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. If we really love the Lord like that, and we're like, yes, you, we love that. Yours is the kingdom and the glory. Sometimes it makes us want to say, wow, God. Almost like you're watching somebody take a bow on the stage. Awesome, God. But there's often times when God speaks to us or God moves in our midst in such a way that sometimes we're led to our knees and ends up leading us into taking a bow. And that's kind of what I want to talk with you a little bit about as we talk about the kingdom of God. This series is called Kingdom Come. It's the second week. And so if you were here last week, we started looking at Matthew chapter 6, exactly what we were singing about, and where Jesus is teaching us to pray. And he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, what we sang. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what I've found and what I've seen is that oftentimes we can give lip service to that part where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because what we're really asking is, God, I want what you want. I don't want what I think that I want. I really trust you enough to say, God, I want in this situation where I'm in right now, in this current reality where I am, in everything in my life, I want what you want, because I've seen, God, that when I turn the keys over to you, you really know how to drive the ship better than me. Sometimes I try to, it's like a 16-year-old who gets a Ferrari, and sometimes I wreck it. But Jesus, it's one of those things where we learn to trust God. And so as oftentimes we can give lip service to that prayer. But what I've realized is as we begin to realize what that really means and what we're really asking and who we're talking to, it's one of those things where we start to crave that. God, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we think about the world today, when we think about all the different things going on in our work lives, in our family lives, and in the lives of people in our spheres of influence, we turn on the news and we see that there's tragedies happening all over the place. We turn on the news and we see that countries are at war almost all the time. And there's things that go on that's like, this is not right. Families are broken in our communities and maybe in our own families. You may remember we've been praying for a little boy, as many people in Atlanta, Tripp Halstead, when a tree fell on him as he was just playing on a playground. There's things that we face in medical things. Although doctors are the best of the best of the best, sometimes there's things and diseases that they just don't have an answer for right now. And so we look at these things and we don't know why they happen, but we tend to say, God, we know that this is not the way it's supposed to be. Like, we know this is not right. Something feels wrong about this. Whether we can give an answer to it or not, it's like, we don't know what the answer is, God, but we know this isn't right. And so, God, come and fix this place. And so you may, you know, we may not think about the kingdom of God very much, but that's really what we're asking. That's really what we're praying for. Because the kingdom of God if God's kingdom is so much different than our kingdom and our current realities, we're praying that God's kingdom would come. We may not really talk about this very much, but we're always making decisions. You may not walk around talking about the kingdom or anything like that. Like I said last week, people might think you work at medieval times or something like that. But it's one of those things where we're always making decisions to build up a particular kingdom. And you may not realize this, but I have a kingdom and you have a kingdom. I have a will and you have a will. But what God desires for you and for me is to take our wills and our hearts and to give them to the Lord and to say, God, we trust you with this. Because what really we're asking for when God's kingdom to come is, God, we're really saying, we trust you. We want to put our trust in you. And that's something that I remember, and you can trace your story of how God has been at work in your life, but my trust has looked different from when I was a baby to when I was a teenager to wherever I am now, a young adult, and even a pastor. Our trust, God is continually working to build up our trust and say, you can trust me. So what does this kingdom, though, look like? And why in the world does this matter to you and to me? It seemed to be the biggest thing that Jesus talked about. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is near, as Andy was saying. It's a little bit confusing. But the whole point of Jesus' message was ushering in the good news about the kingdom of God. In fact, John the Baptist was preparing the way and said, the kingdom, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And people thought he was nuts. What are you talking about? And Jesus came and started proclaiming about the kingdom of God as well. He said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. Now those words, repent and good news, sometimes don't sound like good news, but when you realize that we have a king who and a God who is in control of all things, who knows what's best for us, it's easier to repent and to turn from our way of living to his way of living. And so, what exactly is the kingdom of God? You know, one of the things that we see all throughout the Bible is people had different expectations of what the kingdom of God was. You may remember when Jesus was about to come, everyone had different expectations of what the Messiah was going to be like. All the Jewish people who had been reading about what this anointed one, the Messiah, was, they read about what he was going to be like. And as they read about it, they thought that he was going to be a military king, that he was going to come in with an iron fist and was going to overthrow the Roman Empire that was oppressing a lot of Jewish people during that time. And they were like, God, let your kingdom come. Please come. And they thought it was like a president or a ruler or some kind of military leader. And so they prayed for that. God, come now and lead your people in a military or political type of way. And they thought that he was going to fix every one of their problems. Once the Messiah comes, there's going to be no more problems at all. And that's one of the reasons why when Jesus is arrested, you may remember the story as Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and suddenly some soldiers walk up. He's getting ready to go to the cross and they arrest Jesus to take him to the cross. And what does Peter do? Peter takes out a sword and he cuts the ear off of a soldier as they're arresting Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, Peter, my kingdom's not like that. But what Peter was really trying to do is, Lord, if this is about power and you being in control of things, I'm gonna manipulate the kingdom into coming right now, because God, I'm not gonna let anybody come in the way of your kingdom. It was a different kind of kingdom, though. And so Jesus isn't interested in that kind of temporary kingdom. And it was really confusing to everyone around him, because everybody had a different view of what it should be like and when it should come and how it should be like. We're really talking about heaven in a lot of ways. And so people ask questions like, what is the kingdom of God, Jesus? And Jesus would tell them this confusing parable. He would tell them a parable about yeast or about mustard seed or about pearls. And they're like, but Jesus, tell us what the kingdom of heaven is. And he's like, it's like this, and it's like this, and it's like this. And it's almost one of those things where everybody was so confused, but it's like Jesus is pointing at a prism that's so much more than just one thing. It's so much more than just a already or not yet, or it's a lot of those things. And so some people thought it was a place. And so they would say, Jesus, where is this place? Where is your kingdom? Like, if you have a kingdom, where is this kingdom? I mean, is it here? Like, is your kingdom somewhere around here, behind a rock or something like that? Or is it in heaven? Do we have to wait till it's in heaven? And Jesus said, yes. What do you mean, Jesus? Where is it? And so he seems to say it's both. And at the same time, at some points, Jesus said that the kingdom is coming. And as Andy said, at some points, he said the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is now. And so it really confused people. But it's not because Jesus is dancing around people's questions about what heaven is like and when his reign and rule comes. It's because it's like he's talking about a prism. And there's all different sides is talking about the kingdom. And maybe people had not experienced it or seen it. And they're like, what are you talking about? We thought it was A to B to C. But what is this kingdom that you're talking about? But it was much bigger than they thought. One theologian said that the kingdom of God is the loving reign and rule of God. So it's not necessarily a place. It's really a spiritual kingdom. It's where God is really king. And so you think of that here today in your spheres of influence. When I was in the seventh grade and I gave my life to Jesus, when I prayed to receive Christ into my life and made that decision, God, I don't want my way of living anymore. I want to turn to your way of living. And maybe not all the stuff I wasn't going to get it all right or anything like that. But I was saying, Lord, here's the keys to my life and I want you to lead my life. And when somebody does that, that's where God becomes the king of their life and the ruler of their life. So we're really talking about where God is king. And so people didn't understand because it's not so much a civil place or anything like that. It's a spiritual kingdom under God's rule that things are the way they should be. And so on one hand, the kingdom of God is already here. But on the other hand, the kingdom of God is not yet. And that's what I want to talk with you about. How is the kingdom of God already here? And how is it not yet? And why should we care? Why does this make a difference? Rob Bell talks about, in one of his videos, he starts planting trees. And he starts digging in the dirt to illustrate this same point. And he puts a humongous tree and plants it on one side. And he plants another tree on another side. And he said, the kingdom of God is like this. Where we are right now is in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was a tree of life. And we could eat of it. And it was everything that we wanted. We were the people that God created us to be. We had a perfect relationship with God and a perfect relationship with one another. But somehow sin happened and things happened and Jesus has come and has redeemed us and has healed us. And then in Revelation, again, we see the tree of life. We see another tree of life. And what he was saying is the kingdom of heaven and really where we are today is we're standing between trees. It's that God's kingdom has come. Jesus has come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus has healed us. Jesus lives inside of us if we have a relationship with him. Jesus has freed us from sin and from slavery and a lot of different things. But yet we wait for the final fulfillment of that. His kingdom is already, but yet it's not yet. And so we stand between trees. The tree of life in Genesis and the tree of life in Revelation. And we experience elements of where Jesus is really Lord and he's really reigning here. But then we're also waiting for him to finally come and to restore all things. For instance, even though Jesus he is here, even though we have his presence, we still struggle with sin. We still struggle with temptations. We still have to put airbags in our cars. We still have to lock our doors. We still have to give walkers to children because sometimes they're born not being able to walk. There's things that happen in this world where we're like, if this is like perfect and what you have in mind, God, then like what is going on? And the whole point that God is trying to say about where we are right now is we're standing between trees. God has already come. We have his presence. We can have a relationship with him. We can experience heaven on earth through him. But yet we're waiting for the final fulfillment of that. Things are still turned upside down. But the question we have to ask is, so if God is loving and if God really is in control, if God is in control of all of these things, why does evil exist? Why do things happen in this world? And what the Bible is trying to say is right now we're standing in between trees. And it causes our hearts to long for that day when Jesus comes a second time and restores all things. And so it's already here, but yet it's not yet. And so it begins in this life, and we don't have to wait for it or the hope of salvation or anything like that. But it's also ultimately fulfilled when Jesus comes back a second time. To give you a better picture of that, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. This is a Revelation 21. This is John's vision of what heaven is going to be like. And that's really what we're talking, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Heaven, it's all synonymous. And oftentimes we say, well, heaven is here, or, you know, earth is here and heaven is here. But as Andy said, God's plan is to take the things in heaven and the elements of heaven and to bring them down to earth right now. And so here's what it's going to look like when Jesus finally comes and restores all things. And I hope this is great news. Let's stand this morning as we read this scripture in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. And I want you to think about where this speaks into your life right now and how you want to see this happen in your life. This is what heaven's going to be like. John says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Isn't this a beautiful picture of really what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back to earth? It's really what we long for. It's really when we watch the news and we wrestle with things in our current realities or in our families or anything like that. It's things that we wrestle with. God, I want that to happen. I want you to wipe every tear from our eye, and I don't want there to be any more death or mourning or crying or pain. God, when are you going to come and make all this place right again? You know, and it's the hope that's really fully realized for those who profess Jesus. And we will be washed from our sins. And I love the picture of a wedding that it gives here, is that it puts us in the place of the bride. So if you're a man, sorry, we're the bride of Christ. But if you think about this imagery, I'm getting ready to do a few weddings this summer. And one of the most amazing times of the whole wedding is it's kind of two ways. When the doors fling open, and you see the bride dressed in just the most beautiful dress. It's white, it's flowing, and everybody almost gasps. From my perspective, as I'm standing on the stage, almost all the time they go, there's a little bit of that quiet, you know, awe in the crowd. But I love watching also the groom. As the groom watches his bride start coming down the aisle, and it's something he'd been waiting for a long, long time. I remember that moment when Mandy started walking down the aisle toward me, and I had to like fight back tears because I was like, I'm missing this, you know, windshield wipers work, you know. It was one of those things where I was just so overwhelmed with, she's so beautiful, and I love her more than anything, and I can't believe God allows me to be married to her. And here we go. We're getting ready to start a life together. And this is the imagery that God is giving us with what the kingdom is like. It's like we become the bride who is dressed up in this perfect white gown. Sorry, men, but it's this beautiful white gown or handsome tux. But it's a white gown, and it symbolizes the purity, and we're washed clean. There's no more sin, no more stain, no more any other blemish. We're perfect the way God originally intended us to be, the people God intended for us to be. And as we walk down, it's saying that we're walking down toward our groom, the Lord, and we're going to see him face to face. And you can almost see throughout all the Bible, and this, I'm amplifying this a little bit, how our groom, God, is just saying, I love you more than anything. I've been waiting for you to come and for us to be united together and for there to be no more separation. Come and be with me. It's one of those things where that's what God wants. And God is saying, no more separation of sin, no more struggles that you have on this earth, anything that separates you from me. I want you to be united with me once and for all. And that's what happens in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. That's when we pray that, that's what we're praying. God, just as we're united, just as we'll be united as husband and wife, as the bride of Christ, unite us like that right now. What would that look like in your sphere of influence? What would that look like in your life? How would that impact your family if you had a relationship with God that was that close? And that's something that we can have through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we read this, this is something that we want. It's really what we were meant to be. And so your kingdom come and your will be done now on earth as it is in heaven. It makes me want to say, Lord, just finish your work. Come on now. Just come on. All this stuff is going on. I know Jesus. Come on. And it's one of those things where, you know, there's going to be no reason for a military anymore when Jesus comes back. There's going to be no need for any kind of voting, or there's going to be no funeral homes in business. There won't be any need for that. There's going to be life everywhere. There's going to be hope and purpose and wholeness. We're going to be the people God created us to be and fully restored. And we'll spend eternity with God. And I used to think that we'll be just sitting around as like some people think we're angels. We're actually higher than angels, the Bible says. But we're singing around and singing choruses, and I like to sing, but maybe you don't. And maybe that's like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to like spend forever singing. But it's one of those things where when you're in the presence of God, you can be in the presence of God for a long time, and it only feels like seconds when you're that close to God. I've had a few moments like that in my life, and I've read about a revival that happened in Kentucky that I've shared with you about. And as the revival broke out, it lasted for like 5, 6, 7 days, and people just kept worshiping the whole time. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, when do you eat? When do you take a break? But they worshiped and they worshiped. And the documentary that I watched, they said, we were in there for 4 or 5 days, but it felt like we were only in there for minutes. And when we're in the presence of God like that, when we're singing forever and ever and ever to the living God, that you are worthy of all honor and glory and power, that your will be done, it's one of those things where it feels like we've only been singing for a minute. We've only been in his presence for a minute, and yet we're there for eternity. And so that's the not yet. That's what's coming up, and that's something that we wait with a great hope of. But the obvious question is, Lord, why do we have to wait? Why do we have to wait on that? Like, I know Jesus. I have a relationship with him. I know the eventual plan. You're going to conquer sin and death, and there'll be no more Satan that has any kind of power. And just take me, God. Just make all this happen. And the reason that God doesn't do that is because God is patient. God waits because he's patient. God waits because he loves every person. And the kingdom of God isn't just about our personal relationship with God, but God desires to woo and to pursue every single person with a personal relationship with Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus waited for you to give your life to Christ, or waits for you to take steps to him before he decided to come back? Jesus waits because he invites every person into a relationship with him. And so as God does that, the kingdom isn't just about that relationship. It's God reaches out and invites us to repent and believe in the good news. Jesus comes, as the Bible says, 2 times. And it's very interesting to see what happens. We celebrate this in Christmas, that Jesus has come, the Messiah has come, our Emmanuel, God with us. The first time Jesus came, Jesus came, he came about 2,000 years ago in humility. He came in the form of a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And he was in a little town of Bethlehem. There was no fanfare. Most of the people didn't even have a room for him. Most people didn't even realize that the king of the world, the God of creation, was living in a manger that night. So the first time he comes in humility. As we know, he is tempted by sin the way we're tempted. He suffered from the hands of a lot of leaders. And he died on a cross. He submitted himself like that. The first time he comes in humility. But the Bible tells us when Jesus comes back, he's going to come in glory. And, you know, that's not one of those words that we use a lot. But when he comes in glory, it's going to come very, very differently. He'll come wearing a crown where it'll be obvious, like, wow, the king has arrived. Have you ever experienced any kind of dignitaries or political leaders or anything like that? Or maybe an athlete who walks by and there's like Secret Service or policemen around. And when somebody, I was at the Omni Hotel one time. And Ted Turner, you know, of course, CNN Center, he's like pretty much in charge over there. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting at the food court, and these guards start coming to attention. And I was like, man, something is going on. And suddenly, their boss starts walking through, you know, and they wanted to make sure they were at attention. Everybody was ready to go. And it's one of those things, when Jesus comes in all of his glory, it's going to be so obvious that everybody's going to come to attention and say, wow, the king has arrived. And this time when he comes, as he comes in glory, it's going to be something where whether we believed in him or not, whether we submitted to his authority or not, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everybody will realize, there's going to be a day where everybody realizes, wow, you are the King. And for those who have a relationship with Jesus, it might be like someone standing on a stage clapping for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I imagine it's going to be something that brings us to our knees. And we end up saying, Lord, thank you that your will has come, that your kingdom has come and your will has been done. And thank you for what you've done in me. You know, that is the kingdom that we wait for to fully come. But if you belong to Jesus, we're not just waiting for the sweet by and by. It's both and. It's already here, but yet it's not yet. And oftentimes when you listen to Southern gospel songs, they're always talking about in the sweet by and by, you know, talking about heaven's coming someday, and we're waiting on it. Here's the hope for you and for me. We're not just waiting on something to come. It's already here as well. That the kingdom of God is really the presence of God, and where he is really in control of things. And so, like Andy said, when we go and serve, that's the kingdom of God going to where people are, bringing his presence to people. There's so many different ways that people experience the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now. Heaven is now. We don't have to wait for it. The great thing about heaven isn't the streets of gold and the different things that we're going to do and the cool places and the cool people we're going to see. It's really about getting to see our Savior face to face. And so if you have a relationship with Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God lives inside of you. And so we experience elements of heaven right now. We don't just have to wait on it. Eternal life begins now. The hope of Christ lives inside of you right now. The sting of sin and death has been done away with for you. The implications of that is cut away. It's done. If you have a relationship with Jesus, it's done. You experience it now. We're not just counting days until Jesus comes and wasting our lives away. It's not like one of those things where we give our life to Christ and we just say, all right, we're just hanging out. Jesus wants us to have purpose in our life, to go out and to share the gospel with other people, to share the good news, and to become even more grafted into relationship with him, to grow in our relationship with him. And when we see him face to face, we'll know him without a doubt. That when we see him for that final time, and this hope that we celebrate, we'll be able to say, God, thank you for all that you've done. And God, I'm ready to come home. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue this time of worship. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And God, this isn't just a salvation decision. This is an every moment decision. For us to make decisions to repent, to turn from our way of living to your way of living. And God, praying that in every area of our life that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, when we look at heaven and what that looks like, we want that to happen. We want our relationship with you to be restored. We want our relationships with one another. We want to be able to love people the way you love people. But God, we only can do that with you living inside of us. And so, Lord, I just pray that today you would encourage all of us to take steps forward in our faith, to trust you at deeper levels and to realize that you have an incredible plan, that you have things in control. And although we stand between trees where things have already come, but yet we wait, God, we know that you are Lord and you know what's best. And God, you love us so much that you are willing to come and to die and to rise again, but also to come back for your bride. And so, Lord, thank you for that. We don't know the hour of the day, but God, we thank you that you're coming back for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.